This is Jim Santel, Morning Cannolis, chatting this morning in our final half hour about voting in America, Voting Rights Act of 1965, and in particular, these two major Supreme Court cases, Shelby County and now Brnovich versus DNC. Right before the break, chatting about what this major decision does to the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and further carving out, for the second time in recent history, a provision of the Voting Rights Act that had been useful to the U.S. Department of Justice in ensuring the 15th Amendment to the Constitution, ensuring voting access and rights for all Americans, including those of color, are enforced. July 1 of 2021, just about a year ago right now, the United States Supreme Court takes up this case coming out of the state of Arizona and finds that the enactments by the state of Arizona having to do with voting location and also collecting votes, collecting ballots from voters and turning those into a proper voting spot. Both of those statutes passed in the state of Arizona, both of them are illegal. Again, one of them making it a crime to collect an early ballot from another voter for delivery to a voting place, and the other one invalidating any ballot submitted by a voter who mistakenly votes in a precinct other than that where they should have voted. And the United States Supreme Court says both of those laws are in fact constitutional. 6-3 vote. A case written by Justice Samuel Alito, who also recently wrote, as you well know, the case in Dobbs, which we've talked about recently, overturning Roe versus Wade. Here, Sam Alito finding that those two pieces of legislation coming out of Arizona are not, in fact, inconsistent. Not inconsistent. They're okay under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act that generally prohibits these kinds of things, inhibiting access to the polls. This is a case that Sam Alito writes. He's joined by the Chief Justice, John Roberts, also by Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett. And Justice Alito writes that these two election policies coming out of Arizona under the statutory interpretation of the Voting Rights Act, neither one of them had a very important or large impact upon the openness of the election in connection with this out-of-precinct policy. Justice Alito said this. He said, having to identify one's own polling place and then travel there to vote does not exceed the usual burdens of voting set by the VRA, the Voting Rights Act. He also stated that data from the 2020 election showed a policy that appears to work for 98% or more of voters to whom it applies, minority and non-minority alike. That's unlikely to render an entire system unequally open. And that's the Chief Justice joining with Sam Alito in writing about the legitimacy of this Arizona law. He also says a state has a compelling interest in preserving the integrity of its election processes, and that the respondents, the DMC, the people who are opposed to these laws in the state of Arizona, had failed to show that the law had some disparate impact, some huge impact upon voting in Arizona. In other words, he says, limiting the classes of persons who may handle early ballots to those less likely to have ulterior motives deters potential fraud and improves voter confidence. And then he goes on to say that the court declines in these cases to announce a test for future cases under Section 2. But simply says it's sufficient for present purposes to identify certain guideposts, certain things that the courts should look to in future cases. And he says that among those guideposts are the size of the burden created. In other words, if it's not a big burden, it probably will pass muster. The degree that the rule deviates from past practices, again, looking to history, which the Supreme Court does a lot in these cases of recent origin. So look back to the past. The size of the racial imbalance. In other words, if it's not significant, perhaps a little bit of voter imbalance and impropriety we'll be able to tolerate. And the overall level of opportunity afforded voters in considering all election rules. And so he adopts these general standards that pretty much undermine the capacity of the Department of Justice to enforce future laws, to address future laws that might inhibit the capacity of people to vote. Very significantly, in connection connection with the fifth standard that he sets forth, the strength of the state interests. He says this, and it's chilling. I think it's a chilling piece of writing judicially. He says this because, once again, going back to Catherine's good comment right before the break about what are we trying to address here? Is there fraud in America? Is there really election voting that we've got to address because it is the product of some improper motive or some fraud out there? And of course, the answer is no. There's nothing to indicate that at all. But in the course of his opinion for the United States Supreme Court, Justice Alito, joined by the majority of the court, says this. This is in the opinion itself. Says this: one strong and entirely legitimate state interest is the prevention of fraud. Fraud can affect the outcome of a close election, and fraudulent votes dilute the right of citizens to cast ballots that carry appropriate weight. He finally says, fraud can also undermine public confidence in the fairness of the elections and the perceived legitimacy of the announced outcome. That is language in the opinion in Brnovich versus DNC of July of just last year. And why is that significant? Because it is, from my perspective, as far as I know, the first time in a federal document, not in documents out there generally, obviously, lots of pleadings, lots of argument about fraud in America, but it is implicitly, if not explicitly, setting forth this notion that indeed we do have fraud in our elections, that this is a reason for responding to the kinds of things that Arizona has done. There is a reason for being concerned, if you will, about ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin, that this is an entirely legitimate state interest to be concerned about fraud. Fraud, with all due respect, Mr. Justice and majority of the Supreme Court, that does not exist in America, does not exist in Wisconsin, and yet there it is in Brnovich versus DNC, July 1 of 2021. Those two cases, Shelby County 9 years ago and Brnovich just one short year ago, what do? They roll back in a significant way the capacity, the power, the force of the civil rights law that ensures voting access in America. Plainly, a matter that continues to be the subject of, appropriately, the subject of great discussion and concern. But again, responding to a problem that does not exist. We know that fraud is not rampant in America, not rampant in Wisconsin, and throughout the Midwest, other places throughout the nation. And yet here we have the Supreme Court 9 years ago and just 1 year ago identifying from the pen of the Chief Justice this notion that we no longer be concerned about the racial animus that might be out there. It's not nearly as dramatic as it was in 1965. And so therefore, we can perhaps, in the words of the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we can afford to get a little bit wet again under the not under the umbrella of Section 4 and Section 5. And according to Justice Alito, these kinds of things that inhibit, that restrict voting in Arizona, applicable plainly to other states around the nation that are likewise implementing restrictions on voting, those will pass muster under Section 2 in the future. It hamstrings dramatically the capacity of the United States Department of Justice to enforce the law. Section 2 remains in place, unlike Section 4, Section 5 along with it, which is no longer constitutional, no longer out there, the preclearance process, no longer in existence. Section 2 is still there. But the question is whether or not it can indeed be enforced by the U.S. Department of Justice. Department of Justice with the Civil Rights Division continues to address issues in Georgia and other places around the states in which there are laws being passed to inhibit the right of Americans, including those of color, to the polling places and boxes and access to voting generally. That is still being litigated in cases around the nation, but in the wake of Brnovich, a huge impact by that case on the capacity of the U.S. Department of Justice to do just that, and therefore the inhibition of people to go and vote as they should under the Voting Rights Act and under the 15th Amendment to the Constitution. In our last segment, we're going to talk about the remedies to Shelby County and Brnovich, the ways in which the Congress can indeed, if it wants to, remedy the problems we identified, restore the Voting Rights Act of 1965 to the way it was in previous years. We'll talk about that right after the coming break here on the Shaw, WAUK Radio, 540 AM, 101 FM. Also taking your phone calls at 844-967-2789.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was.